So this is the first class of a 6-part series. Called The Art of Meditation in the Science of Awakening. So, first thing I want to do is introduce ourselves so that we all know each other's name, and also tell me if you have a practice of meditation at all. And what you, if you want, you can say what you expect to get out of this course. It'll help me to know where everyone is at. And so we can all kind of be on the same page. So, would you like to start?
I'm Sara. I live in Beifalta. And I, in the past, went through some of the meditation of Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism, and studied some. But I think this course will be good just to gather it, scattered information that I have here and there, and maybe make it more solid and specific. Is it Vajra Yoga? Vajra?
But it's Mahayana and also Vedanta. Okay. So it takes some things from Vedanta, and it takes some things from Mahayana, specifically Tibetan,
mm-hmm.
one specific Tibetan practice, which is a Mahayana practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a Vajrayana practice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But Mahayana, when practiced fully, leads into Vajrayana.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you know that. So.
Yeah, so lately, 20 years ago, I started with Vipassana in 2004, and has been the technique that I really, really appreciate. I think it's for me, for all, I tried Zen, several ones, but I think, the Vipassana is the technique that most suit me.
Okay.
Suit me
mm-hmm.
most.
Yeah, okay. Great. Thanks, Sarah.
Hello, my name is Maya. And I live next to Beifalta. So I have various experiences with meditation, also through Vipassana. I did a few courses, and through yoga, and through my own attraction to it, to this field. I forget to know what's inside and my mind, and I think that I was influenced a lot by the work of Jiddu Krishnamurti, if you know, and I think this is the path that I, it's not a path, but it's the, I'm not describing it, I'll try to make it short. Anyway, I didn't practice for the last few years, and I was full time with my second child at home, and now I read this ad and I felt that I really need to be here, and I really need to come back to my, to this first sitting and being, and through this practice as well.
Okay, great, thank you.
Well, my name is Heiko, and I live down there. My house is just outside of the river here. I did quite some meditation at Paths, and I once was very practiced at being sitting just 1 hour or more, and went totally in good meditative state. But I never had a... I learned it from people, and I learned even in a course, but it was never one way to go, and I picked up a lot of things from everybody, so it was just a mixture of what I thought that was working for me. So I'm here because I want to pick up my meditation again. I already do it once a week,
mm-hmm.
but I want to go a bit deeper, so that's why I want more, to follow this course, and hope it brings me some deeper layers and that I can dive a bit deeper again.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah, my name is Christian. And yeah, I'm also new to meditation. I did some meditations years ago when I did Kriya Yoga. So this was just kind of guided meditations, which I really enjoyed. And yeah, I'm here to find ways to get my mind, to stop it working because I think too much. And yeah, I'm looking for more inner peace. So yeah, let's just see what happens.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And I'm Fran, and similarly to you both, so back in 2000 I did some Vipassana, maybe 3 courses, and I really liked Vipassana, yet to stick with the daily practice has been my biggest difficulty. So when I saw your course I was like, right, this is it. I really want to get back to a daily practice.
Okay.
And I quite easily meditate. Every time I roll out the yoga mat, I sort of naturally go into quite a meditative space.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have a sort of technique.
Okay.
But I'm interested in learning more.
So. Okay. Great.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Fran. Me too. I'm really happy to be here. And it's been a long time since I've done a class like this, and I've been wanting to do this for a while now. And now that I'm settled in Faita and things are calmed down for me for the most part, I can do this now, and I can tell you about my practice. But you're going to learn about my practice through these 6 courses, so I'll just save all that. I've done a lot of different styles of meditation in the past, and I've appreciated some more than others, and I've followed these paths, and I learned some things that I want to share that I think are super valuable for those that want to listen. And I got this handy little chalkboard, which I'm gonna try to use today. I just like to have a visual thing, and I like to write things and be, so this is like my visual aid. It helps me explain things. But the first thing I wanted to say is that this is a course that is for you to develop your own practice. This is not a technique that I'm going to teach you that I expect you to learn. So there will be a couple different techniques involved, but really this is about inspiring you to take on, to design your own practice that fits your personality and your inclinations and habits and everything, and just something that fits into your life. Rather than trying to impose my ideas of what I think you should do, which I think is ridiculous. And it's something that I've railed against throughout the years, going in and out of sanghas, and always having these expectations about, not only for me, for myself, but other people having expectations of you, oh, you got to do it this way or that way, and then there's all these rituals and everything, and so I've kind of distilled these methods and ways of thinking and being out of these traditions that I have been involved in over the years. And so this is what I'm presenting is a kind of distilled way of approaching meditation, and something that it can be very practical for you and hands-on, and you can just hopefully just go right into it and it will be helpful that way. So, and you don't, you know, for meditation, I think you already know this, but you don't really need to be a certain way. You don't have to be a particularly disciplined type of person to do this. You don't need to be smart. You don't need to have a certain physical, like you don't, you know, if you have aches and pains in your body, that's okay. There's nothing really that you need to add to who you are in order to have a successful meditation practice. The one thing, the one thing you do need, is this. Do you know The Importance of Being Earnest by the play by Oscar Wilde? I was thinking about this word, and I heard it at some point a few weeks ago, and I think it's the really the only thing you need to practice meditation is an earnest desire to, well, earnestness I think implies inquisitiveness, curiosity, and also a willingness to go maybe where you haven't been before, and kind of a passion, but not a passionate passion, not a dramatic kind of passion, but an underlying desire to try something that you haven't tried before, or try it in a way you haven't tried it before. So that's really, I think all I wanted to say at the beginning of this. So I'm just gonna go into it. So let's just start with a breathing practice. And I don't know if you know triangle breathing. It's a kind of pranayama, and it will help us settle in a little bit more. So what I do is I just hold my right elbow like this, and I take my ring finger and I place it on the left nostril like this. This is the traditional method for doing this. You can do it however you want. This is how I do it. And you breathe in slowly, four counts, so breathe in slowly. Hold your breath like this, pitch your nose, hold your breath, and drop your neck down gently and hold for four counts, and then go up, and then breathe out with holding your thumb on the right nostril. Breathe out through your left nostril, holding the thumb on the right nostril. So the whole thing goes like this. In for four, and then hold, drop your head down, and then out through the left nostril, and then in through the left nostril for four, hold, drop your head gently, and then blow out through your right nostril for four counts. When you're doing this, I want you to breathe into your belly. So this will stimulate the vagus nerve and also this This is called the Jalandhara Bandha, and it will help you regulate your inner energies. So, and then the right nostril breathing separately from the left balances out the nadis, what we call the nadis, the Ida and Pingala, and loosens things up a little bit so that we can more easily let go of thoughts and settle the mind a little bit. So let's do it 10 times. Okay? So ready? In for 4, 2, 3, 4, hold, 3, 4, out, 3, 4, and then in, 4, out, 3, 4, and just keep going. At your own pace. Try to slow the breath down. Let's finish up. Okay, now we're gonna breathe into our bellies and pretend like you're sucking oxygen or energy through all the pores of your skin as you breathe in. Just feel your whole body as if you're breathing with your whole body. So breathe in and fill up your belly. Deep breath. Mm-hmm. out. Breathe in. Let it out. Breathe in. Let it out. And this time we're all gonna do a chant. We're just gonna go on the out breath is just like that. So breathe in and out. To stimulate the vagus nerve and also helps us harmonize everything internally, vibrationally. So go ahead and relax and just get comfortable and if you can keep a straight spine, then do that. If you can't, it's okay too. There's no particular way you need to sit, as far as I'm concerned. But just whoever is comfortable for you, where you can have a straight spine or almost straight spine, which will help you stay awake and keep you alert. But at the same time, we also need to be very relaxed. So, and then feel the top of your head and relax it. And feel your forehead and relax it. Feel your eyes and the area around your eyes and relax them. Feel your cheeks and relax them. Relax your jaw and mouth. Relax the sides of your head and the back of your head. Relax your ears. Relax your neck. Relax your shoulders. Relax your chest. And abdomen. Upper arms. Relax them, elbows, forearms, Relax your wrists and your hands and fingers. Relax your upper back. In your lower back. Pelvis. Upper legs. Relax your knees. Calves and shins, ankles, relax your feet, and toes, relax your whole head at once. Relax your whole body at once. Now, imagine that your whole body is one thing. It's whole and complete. It has no more separate parts to it. It's just one unified whole. To feel your body as if it is one unified whole, all at once. And now add one thing, which is attention to the breath in the belly. So I'm not going to change your breath in any way. I'm just going to pay attention to the breath in the belly while you are feeling the whole body at once. And giving about 25% of your attention to the breath. The rest of your awareness is on the body. So we're using the breath as an anchor. And it's easy to do this because the breath is always moving. And because it's in the center of the body, in your abdomen, your hara, it will keep you centered and grounded. So you might notice that you have to go from the body to the breath and you have to toggle back and forth. Or you also might notice that you can kind of hold them in your awareness both at the same time. Either one of those is fine, or however you can do it. And if a thought comes in, that's perfectly fine. Thoughts come and go. That is their nature. So just let them come and go. And if you get caught up in thinking a thought, that's perfectly fine. When you notice it, you just go back to the body and the breath. Gently let go of the thought and go back to awareness of the body as a whole and the breath in the belly. Notice how relaxed you are. And if you're not completely relaxed, you can just let go of whatever tension is there in the body. Just gently release it. And keep holding your attention on the body and the breath. And notice how awake your awareness is, how awake you are, how aware you are. Another function of the breath is it is a gauge for your clarity. It's a barometer of how clear you are with your awareness. So just remember that you can use the breath to determine the level of clarity that you're at. But still, you're only giving 25% of your attention to the breath. Notice the stillness. Notice the silence. And the spaciousness. And if it doesn't feel that way, that's fine too. Just notice the quality of your awareness. And now we're going to change things up a little bit. So imagine a spark in the middle of your chest. And it gets bigger. A warm ball of light grows slowly inside your chest cavity. Slowly getting a little bit bigger, about the size of a baseball. And it's shining like a small sun inside your body. And And then just imagine your the whole inside of you is lighting up with this warm golden light. And it's coming out of the pores of your skin. Slowly getting brighter and brighter. Now imagine your whole body is lit up by this light. It's like a sun. And as it comes out, it radiates out to all beings everywhere. You're just observing this happening. It's radiating out. And you can open up your heart. Just feel your heart as the sun. And it's just shining because it just shines. That's what it does. For no reason. No apparent reason. Just does it. And feel the bliss of that radiating sun. As it expands outward. And we're gonna slowly return to the room so you can let your light go back into the body. Let it go to the size you want it to go to. And slowly wiggle your fingers and toes. slowly open your eyes. Come back into the room. Is that okay for everyone? Is that alright?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is my drawing. I wanted to explain the paradigm of how I cognize worldview and where all this stuff comes from and what my understanding of meditation is, and that mostly what I wanted to say was that we are, as humans in a Western society, or maybe in all societies, I don't know, we're wired to think of going from A to B in a straight line. We think of time as a straight line, normally, as a timeline, and we think of achievement as something that we work towards and that we have to do. There's doing involved, and it involves me going from point A to point B, and that involves effort, and that's normally how we think, right? I mean, isn't that kind of sum it up about how we look at achievement and goals and getting what we want out of life?
Yeah.
So the thing about that is, if you try to do a meditation, if you try to have a meditation practice with that mindset coming from that point of view, it's not going to work. It will, in my experience, it just doesn't work for myself or anyone else that I know of, because there's nothing to achieve in that way with meditation. There's no doing. The only doing involved in meditation is getting to the cushion. So, and that is the hardest part. Just getting to that cushion and sitting down. That's it. The rest is super easy. And it has to be easy. Why does it have to be easy? Because it doesn't involve effort. There's no efforting involved in this. So the more you understand this very important aspect, the easier it will be to sustain a practice and to deepen into your practice. So also this idea of doing, the mind is the doer, right? So every thought is about doing, isn't it? It's about getting something or getting rid of something. Every single thought. And why is that? That's really interesting to me. Why is it that every thought is about doing? And what is all this doing about? You know, where are we gonna get with all this doing?
I mean, when you started with your thing about going from A to B, I was really confused. I was not really understanding very well. Then when you start explaining about the doing, because, you know, when you start meditation, it's precisely to stop doing and be just
right.
present and
right.
just be witnessing.
Right, yeah.
What's going on.
But a lot of times when you're sitting in meditation, there's doing going on, right? It just keeps going.
Mm-hmm. So maybe even intensified.
Yeah, yeah. Or you just notice it more because you're more aware. Maybe it's been going the whole time just as fast, and suddenly you've become aware of it. And you guys know this, you've done meditation, so it's just nothing new to you, but I'm just going to say it anyway. It can seem really difficult at first, because suddenly you notice it's just a shower of thoughts, like under a waterfall of thoughts, and it's like, what? I thought this was supposed to make my mind calm down, you know? But that's a phase, and you can get through it, and it's not a problem. It's just something to be expected. And even if you've been doing it for a long time and you have really deep, great meditations, it can still happen. You can have an astrological aspect come up, Mars and Gemini, and it's going,
you know? I don't understand the concept of great meditation.
Sorry?
There's no such thing as great meditation.
Exactly.
It's just meditation.
Yes, well said. Exactly, well said. Well said. So anyway, you guys already know this. But so I wanted to illustrate this. This is the I. This is the little self here. And this is the big self, the capital S, the awareness.
The what, though?
The awareness.
This
is the absolute.
Mm-hmm.
So the absolute encompasses all of this. And here we are as our individuated awarenesses, right? And so this is the way I like to think of it. Instead of thinking, oh, I'm gonna become a really good meditator, you know. It's actually just, we're just sort of letting go of this. We're just letting go of that. And that's it, because we're already this. And so that's what this practice, from my perspective, that's what this practice is about. It's about the via negativa. It's neti neti. It's letting go, letting go, letting go, letting go. Over and over again. And we can habituate ourselves to this letting go process. And for me, that's the way. That's the only way. And meditation is the only way. For me. So that's my general worldview on all of this. And great, we have 5 minutes. So, what else I wanted to talk about? Resistance. You all know about resistance. So everyone here knows how to meditate already. So this is kind of my beginner talk, but you guys aren't really beginners, so. But
good to be reminded always.
Yeah. Resistance comes in many forms with many things, and meditation especially. And so my main point about resistance is you're going to have it, and just to expect it. And it's okay to have resistance. It's part of being human and having obstacles, exploring limitations of being living as a individuated human body mind. So and we're gonna go over in this course how to deal with certain types of resistance come up, and it will be individual, of course, but there are common things that most of us experience with the meditation practice. And so do you have any questions about anything that we talked about or about the meditation today?
Do you teach a different meditation every session?
Or no.
We'll keep with the same?
It will develop.
Ah.
It won't be the same every time.
Okay.
Yeah, it will develop.
Mm-hmm.
I just want everyone to be on the same kind of doing it together and going deeper slowly,
mm-hmm.
and into it more. So there are two, you know, I mentioned in the description that there are two practices that I'm very familiar with. Dzogchen, which comes from the Nyingma and I believe Kagyu traditions of Tibetan Buddhism, and then there's the pure being that comes from Advaita Vedanta, non-duality Vedanta practice. And so we'll go over both of those. They are, in my experience, basically the same, but they are talked about differently. They're thought about and described differently, but they're basically the same thing, which is a pure being practice, which for me is the most, after every single practice that I've done, and I've done way too many types of meditation practices, This is the golden nugget that I've dug up, and it is the fastest, deepest, most profound practice that I've ever done, and that's why I want to share it, because it is profound. So I hope you all discover that. Any other questions? We have 28 seconds left.
Yeah, I need to go, otherwise I would open a topic that I have, but
What?
I think next time. I think I'm saying that I must go when
okay.
I finish, otherwise I would open
okay, all right.
Something that maybe next time.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Okay. So I would love it if each of you would do this practice or whatever practice you what we did today, or something else that you like. Maybe you like something else better, or you can mix and match how you like. But I would like it if everyone did it for at least 15 minutes every day until we meet next week. And so it will be easier to go deeper next time. And and if you have questions in the middle of the week, you can always send me a message, text or email. I guess you can't email me yet, but you can send me a text or whatever. Call me if you have questions about anything. But please try to do every day for at least 15 minutes. And we can all help each other with this. You know, just be enthusiastic mm-hmm. about it. Like, mm-hmm. let's do this, mm-hmm. you know.
Earnestness.
Huh? Earnestness.
Yeah. And it's always so clear to me. You know, if I sit on my own, it's one thing. But if you sit in a small circle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it always feels like
right.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah,
yeah.
I could feel it intensify.
Yeah,
just in a small group. Yeah,
the gardens also helped.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well.
But when I meditate this week, I'm going to think of you guys meditating.
Oh yes.
At this, and maybe at the same time.
Yeah, we
I don't
can
know.
Do it together. So that's yeah.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing. Actually, we can imagine this as we are now. Yeah. Great.
Great,
thank
so
yeah.
thank you.
Thank you,
thank you very much. Yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah, yeah.